Let's open our Bibles to the 45th Psalm. Psalm 45, we're going to read verses 9 through 14. Continue our study on the great salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're considering a sub-subject of the garments of salvation. The garments of salvation. We considered the robe of righteousness. Last time we considered the garment of praise. Tonight we'll consider the garment of needlework. Psalm 45, verses 9 through 14. And I'm reading from the King James Version. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. The reason I read from the King James is simply for that phrase in verse 14. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. Other versions use a somewhat different term. Now, this particular garment is probably the least appreciated and the least worn of all the garments of salvation. However, from God's viewpoint and from our viewpoint as we understand God's purposes, it is one of the most beautiful garments. But it's really not much in style among God's people. In other words, it's not too fashionable to wear this garment of needlework. The word needlework is found only in the Old Testament, and it means variegation of color. Variegation of color. The New King James Version, which I usually use, translates as robe of many colors. Robes of many colors, which you can translate from the word, but it means specifically embroidery. That is, raiment of needlework on both sides. Raiment of needlework on both sides. Now, however it's used and wherever it's used in the Old Testament, it always seems to speak of something of beauty. Now, as we consider the references that we have in the Word of God where this term is used, it speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit through trials and testings to perfect and to produce the beauty of Christ in the believer. As we've seen in the beginning of our study, we saw that the main purpose of God, or the purpose of God in salvation, is to transform us into the image of His dear Son. Now, there are many ways that this purpose is expressed in the Word of God. And the garment of needlework is one of them, perhaps one of the most expressive of this work. God saved us not just to escape eternal damnation, but that He might transform us, change us into His glorious Son, or the image of His glorious Son. Now, what God the Father wants to see in us is the likeness of His Son. So few of God's people understand that that's what God wants in us. He is not all that interested in our varied accomplishments, talents, and so on. And any beauty that you and I exhibit is only the beauty of the divine life of Christ worked in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't sew. I don't use a needle. Well, I do use a needle sometimes to take a splinter out of my hand. That's about it. I don't have a whole lot of talent on that way. But I have watched others use a needle. Now, I do know that a needle is sharp. And if you will, bear with me, as you usually have to do. think of the cloth as something that has feelings. Now, I don't think cloth has feelings, but let's just presume that it does. Each time that needle goes in, oh, it comes out, oh, you know. That's what would be happening if that piece of cloth had feelings. Well, you and I have feelings, don't we? And when God uses his needle, he allows the Holy Spirit to use the needle, sometimes we say, ouch. Let's turn to Exodus 39. Exodus 39, the first three verses, to help us understand a little better what the concept of needlework is all about. Hey, we see the same principle as we read in Psalm 45, and we will return at a later date to Psalm 45. But with the same principle is taught here in the making of the garments of the high priest. Some of the garments that he wore were made of needlework. And we'll read the first three verses. Of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and a fine woven linen. And they beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread and the fine linen into artistic designs. Now, we've already considered the garments of the priest, and at that time, we concentrated basically on the fact that they were white. That was our about all the farther we went when we looked at the garments of the priest. But there were other garments used especially by the high priest, and the priest ephod, as we see here, had colors woven into it, blue, purple, and scarlet thread that was worked into the white linen to produce colorful garments. What for? For ministering in the holy place. Now, this needlework, as we see in again in Exodus, this needlework was done by two men by the name of Bezaleel and Oliab, and they represent the Holy Spirit and his work of preparing the church, the body of Christ, for ministering, to minister now and to reign with Christ in eternity. There is a work going on in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is the heavenly embroiderer. As we allow him to work in our lives, he's making a beautiful garment of embroidery or needlework for eternity. And as we mentioned before, every time the needle punctures the cloth, even though it hurts, it's forming something of beauty. Remember that. Every trial, every hardship, every difficulty we go through in the will of God beautifies our garment of needlework for eternity. Or as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4:17, and I'll quote here from today's English version, he speaks of these things this way: the small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring a tremendous and eternal glory or beauty much greater than the trouble. Going back to Exodus 39, the third verse, reading the third verse again. They beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work it in with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread and the fine linen into artistic designs, into something of beauty. Now, whether you realize it or not, God is doing something of beauty in our lives. I remember as a younger person, I observed the elder saints. And I could see the workings of God in their lives as they passed through things that I knew they were going through, and I observed how steadfast they were, how well, it was a thing of beauty. I don't know what's happened. I don't look so much at the older saints. I don't know what happened. There's not as many older saints anymore. But I do look at the younger saints. There's still some saints. And I look at the younger saints and I see the same thing. I've been here in this assembly for 7 years. And I don't want to scare you that I'm watching over you and, you know, just staring at you. But I do observe through the eye of the Spirit. And I have observed the same thing in the young people. The few young people that are still with us and the younger families. I have observed them going through things. I don't know all that they go through, but I know things that happen. And I observe. And to me, it's been beautiful, if you will, to see how the Lord has worked in their lives. I can see a beauty in the lives of those that yield to the Holy Spirit as He does this work in their lives. And if I can see it, how much more must our Heavenly Father in heaven see and appreciate the beauty that's being worked in your life? Now, it isn't fun. I agree with that. That's why I said this garment is the least worn of all of the garments of salvation, because it requires us to yield to the workings of the Holy Spirit, which are not all that wonderful to the flesh that is always saying, ouch. There were threads of blue in this garment, going back to Exodus 39. There were threads of blue which speak of heaven, the origin and the destination of Christ. He came from heaven. He went back to heaven. And He is our life. These garments speak especially of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. I don't want to dwell so much on that as simply the work that was done and how it can apply to our lives. The blue would speak to us of heaven, and you and I should set our attention, our ambition, on things above, not on things of this life. And the Lord will work that into our garment of needlework. There were threads of purple which speak to us of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I trust that you are not waiting for the King to come. I trust that He is already King in your life. Jesus should be reigning even now in our lives, and He should be the Lord of our lives. As a chorus says, if He is not Lord of all, then He is not Lord at all. I think that is a very true statement. If Jesus is not the Lord of all that you are and all that you ever intend to be, then He's not your Lord at all. Then there were threads of scarlet which speak to us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ who bought our redemption. I trust that there's not a day that goes by that you don't consciously realize that you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not just a one-time thing we assent to, but it's part of our life. We're speaking of these colors as being part of our life. They are woven into us. We should live and so order our lives, realizing in a very practical way that we were bought with a price, and what a price it was. Then there were also threads of gold. Now in the Scriptures, gold is an indisputable type of the divine life. I don't think anybody would dispute that fact. Gold represents the divine life. Now, these were not just ordinary threads which were dyed a gold color, which could be possible, but real, honest-to-goodness gold metal. Now, all of these colors speak to us of the attributes of the divine nature of Christ, which the Holy Spirit weaves into the very fabric of who we are in Christ. As a child of God, you cannot Say, this is my life. This is me, who I am. And this is the Christian life. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That's why we're emphasizing here the needlework that's woven into the cloth. And I'm going to attempt another of my weak attempts to emphasize this point and make it clear to you what I'm trying to say. In Paraguay, we have a type of garment that's called apoí. That's a Guarani word, and you'll need to know what it means. But anyway, it's very interesting. The main part is embroidery, and the cloth that's used after service while you're fellowshipping, you can check the Courtneys out. Phil and Melissa have on a garment of apoí, and so does Sharon Crook, my wife Sharon. There are other Sharons. And they're made of apoí. And I've consulted with some experts. I like to talk with people and know what they're talking about, because so often I don't. But anyway, this cloth is made of, well, the cloth itself is muslin, basically. And I was consulting with one of the experts, Sister Lucidale, and in our conversation, she made the statement, she was trying to explain to me what muslin is. And she says, not something that you want to make something out of to wear. And that was just the point I wanted to hear. And she's right, and I'm not disputing the expert. She's right. However, because of the needlework that the people do in Paraguay, this garment that otherwise you wouldn't wear it, it's unattractive, and if the lace is very ordinary, but when you do some needlework to it, now this is my wife Sharon's, it doesn't look too bad. If you got some color there, she wears it. Now if it was just like this, in other words, that Lucidale used was blah. And again, she's right. Do you know what we are in God's sight if we don't allow Him to beautify us the way that He wants to beautify us? Lucidale said it right. Blah. Blah. That which is unattractive, that's you and I. But you see, God, in His mercy and His grace and His infinite wisdom, has given us the divine life of Christ. We spoke before about the robe of righteousness with which we're covered. We also receive the divine life of Jesus Christ. That's something that I think quite often on and cannot comprehend. That I have within me the very life of Christ. The very life of Christ. But for that life to be seen as it ought to, there must be a work. I don't want to go into a lot of detail tonight, but I'll just make a few, yes, a few statements about gold. It's always impressed me that they wove gold thread into the priest's garment. And I'm going to read you a few facts. Some of you already know these facts, I understand, but some don't. Pure gold is the most malleable of all metals. It can easily be beaten or hammered to a thickness of 5 millionths of an inch. 5 I have no idea what that is. I'm just reading facts, okay? These are facts. I'm not going to explain to you. That's a fact. 5 millionths of an inch. That is 60 times thinner than a piece of paper. 60 times thinner. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. I got this out of the encyclopedia. I also studied in school, but anyway. It is so malleable that you could take one ounce of gold, pure gold, and draw it into a wire 62 miles long. Now, to kind of get in your mind what that is, that would be drawing a line from the exit down here on Wadsworth on I-70 and going east, because that's where I usually go east to Deer Trail exit. In case you're interested, that's almost 62 miles. Impressive. It boggles your mind. And as we consider other, we don't have the time tonight to consider other facts about gold. We'll do that on another occasion. But it's amazing how this speaks to us of the divine life of Christ. This article goes on to say, it is one of the softest metals and is extremely dense. It's a good conductor of heat and electricity. Gold is extremely inactive. Those of you that know physics will understand what that means. That is, it is unaffected by air, heat, moisture, and most solvents. Now, isn't that that's a good description of the divine life. Let's turn to James 1:17. I'll explain why I say that. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no variation or shadow of turning in the eternal God. In Hebrews, we read about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, God makes the statement, I am the Lord, I change not. And to think that you and I have that divine nature within us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're given that divine life. That life is within us, is an essential part of us, and it is to be woven into the very fabric of who we are in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, the word of God has been given to us. Why? So that we can memorize it. That through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The New International Version says that through them you may participate in the divine nature. As I said, when we accept Christ, we are given his divine nature, but not all of God's people lay hold of this nature and participate in it. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to weave it into them so that it manifests itself in their everyday life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. He wanted the life of Christ to be manifested in him at all costs, in all ways, and at all times. And this is the garment of needlework. We'll leave it off here tonight. There are more more things we want to look at concerning this particular garment. It is a garment of beauty. As you and I yield to the workings of the Holy Spirit, Philippians 1:20, Paul says, with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ will be manifested in my body, whether by life or by death. This was what drove him. This was his life ambition, that Christ would be manifested in him as a person. I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts as we saw the last time, the need of putting on the garment of praise, something that we need to wear at all times. But so is this garment of needlework, and we'll go a little bit farther with it in another lesson. How important it is for you and I to simply submit to the workings of the Holy Spirit. We look at what's happening in the moment, and we think, what is this all about? What is this all about? That's because you and I cannot see. When whoever did this, I have no idea who did it. When they began, all they had was pretty much that. But then, knowing what they wanted, they began a stitch, another stitch. I have no idea how long it took them to make this. Some of them are more intricate than that. But with each stitch, it became clearer and clearer what the design was to be. And then finally, it's something of beauty that somebody can wear. It's not ugh, but it's beautiful. The world cannot see. Well, they can in a sense, I guess. Even the world can see at sometimes the beauty of Christ that's within us, but God can. And you and I can. I believe we look at one another. I hope we do, and I hope we can. Look at one another and see the beauty of Christ. I'm not talking about how handsome and beautiful you are. That's good. But the real beauty that's on the inside. And I believe you will agree with me that those saints, be they old or young, that are the most beautiful are the saints who have gone through much needlework. They have submitted to the needlework of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they are beautiful. They're beautiful before the Lord. They're beautiful in our eyes. And I realize that you're not going to see this garment everywhere, even on God's people. A lot of God's people have no desire to put on this garment of needlework, but how beautiful it is. It glorifies Christ. These light afflictions, and you can think of that and receive it however you want, these light afflictions are not even worthy to be compared to the great weight of glory that they are working in our lives. You don't see it now. You don't understand it now. But ask God to give you a bit of a vision of the finished product. We don't know the whole. We're not going to know the whole on this side. But sometimes God does, doesn't he? He gives us a bit of a glimpse. That's why some of God's people are just a little bit more fanatic than others. Because they've had a bit of a glimpse of what it's all about. It's not just having a good time and receiving blessings. It's something eternal that glorifies beyond all ability to understand the one who deserves all praise and glory. Let's stand and worship the Lord once again. As always, the altars are open. And afterwards, we'll gather together in the fellowship hall. Thank God for the young people in our nation who know and honor the Lord. You don't read about them in the paper. You always read about the bad ones. That's what the paper's all about. That's what news is all about. But I have news for you. There are young people throughout this nation and the world who have dedicated their lives to the Lord. And you and I would do well to remember that. Don't become bogged down with all the bad stuff. Put on the garment of praise. And thank God for those who are yielding and those who will continue to yield their lives to the Lord as a testimony to the power of the gospel. Let's all worship the Lord together and ask Sister Wanda if she would to dismiss.